Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence. And with me today is Tim Scales, Director of Growth at American Underground, where we are recording from in our new podcast studio in downtown Durham. What is going on, Tim Scales?
Hello, good to be here. Is this the first podcast from this studio?
It might be. Now, we did record one with Justin Laidlaw, but this might be the one that comes out first. I don't know. I'm so excited to, one, talk to you, but then, two, to actually have this studio at American Underground. And, Tim, from my perspective of American Underground, and I've been in the Triangle since 1997. I've seen Durham grow. I've seen, as a small business owner, some of the things that American Underground is super supportive of. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to partner with you all in creating the studio, is because, okay, well, American Underground is just so supportive of the local entrepreneurial community. So, you know, thank you for having us and partnering with us at Earfluence here.
Of course, we're thrilled to have y'all as partners and to have this podcast studio set up as an amenity for our members as well. We're excited to get it started.
It's so cool. So what I want to know from you, Tim, and we can kind of get into all about American Underground, but let's go way back before your time at AU. Like, can you tell us the history of American Underground?
Sure. I'm going to tell you the mythology because I wasn't here. And I'm going to tell you the story as I know it. And if my boss is listening, then he can correct me on the facts later.
But okay.
So the American Underground has been around since 2010. But the story of the AU begins well before that. Our parent company is Capital Broadcasting Company, a family-owned media company based in Raleigh, who years ago bought the Durham Bulls. And there's a much longer story around this, but relocated the Durham Bulls to downtown to the new stadium, and realized very early on that having the abandoned American Tobacco campus adjacent to the stadium was not doing great things for attendance at the ball games. So they said, all right, we're going to diversify into real estate now. And they renovated the American Tobacco campus, which at the time was the largest historical renovation in the state. And we're left over with a basement. And they used the basement for storing Christmas decorations for a long time. And then eventually thought, you know what, we could put startups down here. So they opened it up to startups and startup accelerators as co-working space. And that was where the American Underground was born. So American from American Tobacco Campus, Underground from being in a basement. It was the original, very cool co-working space, lots of exposed brick and ductwork. But over the years, we also have now since graduated above ground, have three locations up on Main Street. Mostly above ground. We are down in the original or in the new underground in our Main Street location now.
Wow. Yeah. I can see that happening where somebody is like, what should we do with this basement? Oh, yeah, startups. They won't mind.
What should we do with this storage closet? Oh, we'll turn it into a podcast studio with Earfluence. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's where we are in a storage closet. But now, I mean, it is a renovated, nice-looking podcast studio.
Sure, so, I shouldn't undersell it on the air.
No, I am so excited about this. We even have like ceiling panels and everything and professional mics. Y'all can hear what it sounds like. It sounds amazing. So, Tim, how did you then get involved in AU?
Yeah, so I was a member here first in 2017 with a startup that I was coming out of grad school at Duke. Started this, my first foray into tech startups as I was graduating. Landed in the NCIDEA Groundwork Labs Accelerator, which was based here at the AU. So I spent the summer across the street from where we are now in the AU at Market location, and then had a co-working membership for some time after that. So got to know the community, got to know the staff, got to know the mission, and really just felt supported as a first-time founder within this community with lots of questions and lots of mistakes that I was making. I remember early on, I was trying to do some work with Facebook ads and I was wasting a lot of money, and I raised my hand in the community. I said, listen, I'm struggling with this. I'm new at this. Can anyone help? I got connected with Ricky Woolman from Written Words, who is a Facebook ads guru. Running a thriving business, but took 30 minutes one day to sit down with me and show me what I was doing wrong and what I could do better and how to be way more effective, which was incredibly valuable. Like the 30 minutes that she spent saved me huge amounts and also got me further on my startup journey. And that was sort of an introduction to the power of the AU community, that you could raise your hand and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. Can anyone help? And there's dozens of people who have been through that same challenge who are generous with their time and available to help you and help founders in general start their businesses.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a rising tide feel, right? The rising tide lifts all boats. And the same thing with the entrepreneurial community. Everybody's busy, but everybody wants to be so helpful to each other. So what does that mean then when you said you raised your hand and Ricky was available to help? Is it like a Slack channel? Was it a meetup that you went to? I know all of those things are available, but you know, what did you do specifically then?
Then it was saying it out loud. And then I think I sent an email and someone made the introduction. Awesome. Now we have a Slack channel where folks can post in our needs channel. Or a lot of my job is fielding questions from AU members and saying, I don't know the answer to this question, but I think I know who might, and here's who you could talk to.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's great. And so if I had a question on, you know, QuickBooks or something like that, and I just wasn't getting QuickBooks right, there's probably a pro that you could send me to that would know pretty well and
yeah.
would probably be able to spend a few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. We had someone posted, I won't mention this person by name, on the Slack channel with a question about how to organize their Google email better. And within 32 minutes, I think, they'd had the problem solved by multiple people who were willing to schedule time for a quick call with them.
Okay.
So like from problem posed to problem solved in half an hour is pretty good track record, I think.
That is pretty great. All right. So for Google email, are you a zero inbox guy or are you a thousands of emails unopened kind of guy?
I open every single email I receive. So except, I mean, not in spam folder, but so I unsubscribe from a huge number of things, but I cannot leave an email unopened. Yeah. So definitely working my way through those.
If I open up, I've got maybe like five or six emails on my phone right now. And I believe the number that shows up on the bubble in my email little icon is like 185,000 or something.
Oh, God, Jason. You're stressing me out just thinking about that.
Right? Like some people can handle that. Some people are like, no thanks.
I'm on that side.
Yeah. So I could probably use that that email guidance person for sure. But you mentioned community and staff and mission. Can you talk about the community and what the goals are for AU? And then, you know, what then is the mission of AU?
Yeah. So the fundamental mission has been to support founders of high growth startups. So from the beginning, we've been building a startup ecosystem, a tech ecosystem here in Durham, and that mission has persisted. But our community is a lot more diverse than just founders of high growth startups, because in order for those founders to succeed, they need to have a strong ecosystem and strong community around them. So our community is comprised of about half folks that would call themselves tech businesses or tech enabled startups, and then half ecosystem partners like venture capital or universities or creative agencies or freelancers or small business owners or tech workers, remote workers who don't necessarily work in the startup world but want to be part of an entrepreneurial community. And they bring their own skill sets and their own broader networks as well to the community.
Yeah. Yep. And so you look outside and there's Bull City Venture Fund. You know, there's Idea Fund, right? Like these are all venture capital types of funds. And then there's the startups, and then you know just anybody that's helping those startups. And there are universities here as well. Is that right?
Yeah, NC Central has a location right. here in partnership with the SPTDC, the Small Business Technology Development Center.
Yeah, that's so cool. Can you talk about some success stories of current members or alums? What are some stories in the lore of American Underground?
Yeah. Well, in 10 years of running this place, there have been hundreds of startups that have come through, lots of success stories.
Yeah.
I think a few current members that I'm particularly excited about these days are, I've given them a shout out in a few places. Tiny Earth Toys is one led by Rachel Classy. They basically launched beginning of last year and now are up to a team of six and have raised $1.5 million from Bull City Ventures, who you mentioned before, also in the AU community, and are just rapidly scaling up. It's been really fun to see and really fun to play a small role in supporting that. They went from a single office to doubling their size to now they have four locations within the AU building, two of which are warehouse spaces full of toys, which is just a fun thing to add to the community. So that's been great.
Wait, what do they do?
Sustainable toy subscription service.
Okay.
So families of young kids can buy a membership monthly fee, and they receive a package of sustainable toys, high quality toys that would be expensive to buy outright, but they rent them. And then as their kids grow, they can swap those toys in for more age-appropriate ones so they can stay with the company as their kids grow up. Reduces environmental impact, reduces clutter around your house, reduces just like broken plastic pieces around because yep. these are high-quality items.
Oh my gosh.
I was like kids, 2 years. I do. I have a four-year-old. I was just like, he was slightly older than their original package, but we bought one of their sets for one of the AU teammates when she had her baby as a little intro.
So I've got three girls, 9, 7, and 4, and we're graduating out of all the baby toy stuff now. And then like some dolls and everything, but it's like, what do we do with all this? Mm-hmm. You know, like it is a big mess. And so, yeah, I mean, I love this idea for Tiny Earth Toys.
Yeah, it's great. It's clearly resonating with people because they're growing massively.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not gonna be able to hold on to them for long. There are people as they grow, they eventually graduate out of the AU. So maybe when they've raised a Series A and they're hiring a couple dozen people, like that's when it's time to move on out of the community.
Yeah.
Folks like Tiny Earth Toys that grow this fast will just sort of naturally graduate sooner.
Yeah.
Though we're holding on to as long as we can.
Yeah. Is it sad when that happens? Is it exciting?
It's exciting.
Yeah.
We're thrilled for that kind of success to come out of the AU community. And it's just there is always more early stage entrepreneurial talent that we're bringing in as well. So it's a cycle, and it's a good thing that people cycle through.
Yeah, definitely. Who else are you excited about?
We had a company called Wild Earth recently relocate here. They're a venture-backed startup building a sustainable dog food company. Raised $20 million plus, I believe, last year, and are also scaling up. The founder, Ryan Bethencourt, moved the company here from the Bay because he just thought the Durham was the next hub to be in. He wanted his company based here. And he's been great because he's here. He's running this company. He's also investing, but he's making time for, he's put together a biweekly Ethereum Web3 meetup group that's happening at the AU as well. So finding time to not only run his own businesses, but also get involved in the community and foster the community. And especially when it comes to some of the more cutting edge tech to develop that here as well. So that's been great.
Well, that sounds like an interesting guy to interview for a future American Underground podcast, I think.
Good call.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I read about that guy. I didn't realize he came to AU.
Yeah. Landed here, which is great.
Yeah, for sure. What about alums? Like, you mentioned Tiny Earth Toys. We'll probably graduate from AU at some point soon.
Right.
But who are some of those companies, or what are some of those companies that have graduated from AU in the past?
Yeah, I think one that comes to mind because they are still nearby is Archive Social grew up around here. So they built a solution for governments to archive their social media feeds to be compliant with some new legal regulation around that. So they had space at the AU, then they graduated, and now they have the top two floors of our market building.
Oh, no kidding.
And so they're right across the street. They recently went through an acquisition merger process and a rebrand, and so they're really taken off as well. So they still have a small connection to the AU, but they're based here in downtown. And a number of the AU alumni companies are. They've grown up in the AU. They got accustomed to being downtown. And so they're finding their own locations around downtown as well to keep growing the entrepreneurial community here.
That is so cool. And when I first came here in 2020, we actually put on, this is like March 13th, 2020 or somewhere around there. We had a live event here. It was like the last thing before everything shut down. I wish I remember the date exactly. It was like March 11th, March 13th, somewhere in there. But I remember it was weird and people were toe tapping. If people went in to shake hands, there was hand sanitizer right away. But anyway, I remember seeing In Her Sight here. And I think that's one that's graduated from AU as well. Is that right?
Yeah, Ursula Mead, they're an alumni company, but yeah, thriving, doing great. And another great example of a founder who gave a lot while they were part of the AU community as well and really worked to support the community. And then they've moved on past, but they're still going strong.
Yeah, well, that's so cool. So one thing that when I go to your website, Tim, and I see right there, it says Google for Startups, and you're like a Google for Startups hub or something like that. And I've I've seen the articles. I don't exactly know. I don't know exactly what it all means. Could you explain to anybody listening, you know, what exactly is Google for Startups and how American Underground is involved?
Sure. Yeah. So we are a Google for Startups tech hub. Okay. Google for Startups is a group within greater Google focused specifically on supporting startups and investing in startup success. And they've been a partner of the AU basically since the beginning. So they've supported the build out of this main location and have stayed closely involved. One of the main partnerships that we have with them at this point is they support the annual Black Founders Exchange program run by my teammate, Gary Lyon, which brings a cohort of a dozen or so Black-led startups, Black founders to Durham for a week-long intensive once a year. We'll be bringing that back in person. It's been virtual this last couple of years, but it'll be in person again this year alongside a larger alumni summit to bring back some of the folks from previous cohorts as well. And so Google for Startups helps organize that program, supports it, sponsors it, and provides access to the greater Google network of experts and talent there. A lot of founders within the Google community, companies that have been acquired by Google, and so a lot of expertise, not just around Google tech, but around entrepreneurship is within that network.
So cool. So exciting. And the way I understand it, there are a few tech hubs throughout the country, but isn't Durham, isn't AU like the hub for Google for Startups?
We are definitely one of the main ones. I think there's nine across the country and then a few more internationally.
Okay.
We have a quarterly call with all the tech hubs, and it's really been fascinating to have that global network in place, especially over the last couple of years, to see how folks have navigated the challenges. But we are the main Google hub in this region for sure.
So Google for Startups is obviously a big partner for you. Google's a big partner for American Underground. But in my orientation that we had with Steve, you know, he was talking about all the other partnerships that American Underground is involved with. And it's pretty amazing like how involved you are with the Durham community. But can you talk about any other partnerships that are exciting to you?
Yeah, we've just partnered with this podcast production company called Earfluence. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're pretty great. That's been a fun one to get started. Yeah, I mean, part of the mission of the AU is to be embedded in the community, and that means partnering with businesses of all kinds. So we have relationships with a lot of the small businesses on Main Street even, where we will maybe bring in their chefs or their bartenders to do events, and then they provide discounts to our members and a little reciprocity there. We've got partners with some of the Google groups that are within Durham, like Google Fiber and Google Cloud, where we are working with them to build the tech ecosystem here in Durham. We'll be hosting Startup Night at the Bulls. So the Durham Bulls are a partner. They're also part of the larger, like I mentioned, corporate family. And so strong relationships there. And then it's early in the year. It's just January. So we're building out sort of what our 2022 is going to look like and what we can do in person. I think that's going to bring a lot of new partnerships. Also folks that are looking for ways to get back involved in-person events and opportunities with the startup community.
Fingers crossed for in-person events, for sure.
Yes, please.
But, you know, those partnerships, and anybody listening to this, like there are value adds in being an AU member, you know, from those partnerships as well. Just with Earfluence, for example, because there is a podcast studio here that is available for AU members. So, you know, if anybody is interested in getting great sound for their webinar, for their podcast, for videos that they're doing, you know, the studio is available to them. So anybody listening to this, that is one reason to be an AU member, along with all the other benefits that Tim talks about. But at the same time, you know, there in that orientation, there was, okay, there's partnership with DPAC, there's partnership with the Bulls, there's partnerships with 21C, and that all means something. It could mean like, you know, discounts on DPAC seats. It could mean discounts or, you know, days for the Bulls calendar that you can you know, have a discounted seat or something like that. But anyway, all these different partnerships are, you know, other great reasons to be a part of AU.
You're doing my job of selling the AU pretty well. I totally agree.
Well, I'm excited about it. We just got here, so I'm pretty excited. Well, let's see here. Why did y'all want a podcast studio initially? Was it something that your members had been wanting to have?
We've definitely seen more folks joining the AU that use audio recording in their work. Either they have their own podcast, they use it within the marketing of their larger company. They do things like run webinars or record teaching modules or things like that, where having this sort of facility is valuable. We also saw Raleigh Founded did it, and anything Raleigh Founded does, we want to do, and we want to just, you know, try to do it better. Just kidding. We love the Raleigh Founded team. And also just, we need to continue to be entrepreneurial ourselves and nimble and try things out and try to be one or two steps ahead of the entrepreneurial community and providing the amenities that they will be looking for soon. And it seems like we are right on time with this sort of wave of audio recording and podcasts. I'm also just an avid podcast listener, so knowing that these things are happening in the building is just kind of fun to know.
Awesome. And so hold that, because I'll ask you at the end what your favorite podcasts are. But you know, just a couple more questions for you about AU. When you're giving the tour, and I see you, you know, giving the tours, coming by the studio here, you're showing everybody what's going on. You're probably telling them the lore of AU. What's your ultimate pitch? Like, why AU versus other co-working spaces?
When I give a tour through the building, I'm showing workspace. And a lot of people think co-working space and they think workspace. I need a space to get out of the house. I need a space to gather my team. And that's
yes,
all of the above.
Yes.
And that's certainly a value of becoming a member of the AU. But I think what I'm trying to get across in the tours as well is, yes, we check the box on a comfortable high-tech workspace with nice amenities within it. But what the differentiator is really the active and engaged community. And so I'm trying to learn from folks as they come through the AU where they are in their startup journey or their in their business and what challenges they're facing. And then I'm able to say, okay, so you're looking at this kind of problem. Here are some folks who have been through that, who have navigated that. Maybe you'll want to connect with them once you're part of the community. Mm. And encourage people to know that landing at the AU, the best thing you can do is just start asking questions and raise your hand in Slack or send the staff an email or show up to a happy hour and get connected. The more you sort of reach out and try to get to know people, the more resources you'll find unlock for you. The main resource of our community is the intellectual capital of our members. And many folks are very generous with sharing their experience and sharing their time. But you do have to make that first step to open those doors.
So cool. Intellectual capital. That's a great phrase to describe the members. Can you talk about, and gosh, we're recording this in mid-January and we've got masks on and, you know, we're hoping to have everything open up to do more live events, but assuming everything does open back up, can you talk about some, you know, meetups or like happy hours? What does AU typically put on for that type of stuff?
Yeah, we have so much planned for this year. So we've got, we run regular members only events. So that's just social networking time for folks in the building a couple times a week, a coffee hour and a happy hour. And that's really just to get to know the people around you, see what people are working on, have a drink, have a coffee. We also run a free co-working day every month where we open our doors to anybody to come work from the space for a day. And we, on those days, we have a couple of social times a day and maybe a startup will do a product demo and we'll have office hours and things like that that people can sign up for as part of that. There's a couple of Durham-wide events coming up, the Bull City Summit and Slingshot, which are not AU events, but the AU will be a venue within those. So we'll be hosting some smaller scale events within that. We're partnering with a larger group on the Raleigh-Durham Startup Week, which will be coming up in April. AU will play a big role in that as well. That's gathering founders and entrepreneurs from across the triangle for 4 days of conference tracks and events. And then we'll have a field day at the Durham Bulls Park for our members. We'll have a picture day for folks to get their new LinkedIn headshot with a professional photographer. All sorts of things, more than I'm sure I'm forgetting, but we have a full schedule of events to roll out as soon as we can safely do so.
Amazing. All right, Tim, this has been an amazing resource. Do you have time for a couple fun questions?
Sure.
Okay. So you mentioned that you are an avid podcast listener.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite podcasts?
I love listening to Radiolab. I love listening to Classic. This American Life. A lot of the classics.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Reply All for a long time. Any longtime Reply All listeners might know some controversy around hosts. So
yep.
It remains to be seen where that one's going.
I couldn't get into it after they changed.
Same. Yeah. A lot of it was just the chemistry between the two longtime hosts.
Right.
And like they just seem like they're having such a good time.
Yeah.
So podcasts like that where it's personalities that you're like, oh, I really like these people. Oh, and also they have really smart things to say.
Yeah.
I listen to the Marketplace for my news, and they have a couple of side podcasts, the off the main NPR big show, where it is more sort of exploring those. The hosts just in a more informal setting, sharing their expertise. Those have been really interesting.
Yeah. Awesome. And then as we're getting to know Durham more, you know, as we're coming in here, being more involved in the community, what are the best places to eat? Like when somebody comes in to AU and you need to take them out to lunch, where do you go?
Parker Notice down at American Tobacco Campus.
Okay.
Excellent sandwich. BU Cafe for coffee and pastries just down the block from us. Pizzeria Toro for dinner. Loaf for that stack of crispy pecan chocolate chip cookies that they sell. Yeah, there's so much happening in downtown. So many good spots.
Yeah. I haven't even branched out very far, but Poke Works is always a big
right?
hit.
Yeah.
And then
on a given day, you'll see like three AU people either having a meeting there or like meeting with a client outside or something like that. And Oak House next door are sort of a offsite AU.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a meeting there next week. Perfect. All right. Awesome. Well, Tim, if somebody's listening to this and they want more information on connecting with you or connecting with AU, what's the best way to go about doing that?
Yeah, the website, AmericanUnderground.com. Best email is info@AmericanUnderground.com. That'll come to me. You can also DM us on Instagram. Find me on LinkedIn, Tim Scales, and happy to connect. And the offer is always, we're here to support our members and we're here to support our community. So if there's someone you're looking to speak with, an introduction, a resource that you're curious about, then be in touch. Ask us. You don't have to be a member to try to get involved.
Well, Tim, again, this has been awesome. Thank you for coming on the Earfluence podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. If you are interested in American Underground, like Tim said, you can email info@AmericanUnderground.com. If you are interested in full service podcast production, be sure to visit Earfluence.com or email info@Earfluence.com. I'm Jason Gillikin, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.